table draped over my screen.
Oh, nice. It's just a beautiful accent. This is home decorating with Megan and Carrie, where we talk about...
This is what the Property Brothers like.
Add value to your computer setup by making it indecipherable.
Yeah.
Hot tip.
Tangle those cables.
Make a real knot mess of octopus legs back there.
Visual interest.
Yeah.
it's like a...
It's a compositional focal point.
It's a Mensa puzzle.
Is it? No, say more about the Mensa puzzle. I'm into that.
Like those little like metal... Like just like a tangle made of metal.
For the viewers at home, Megan's hands are gently describing a bread tangle of nails.
No, like, I mean, I don't know why that means you're qualified for Mensa if you can, like, fiddle together with two little, like, bent nails.
Oh, I hate those! I didn't know they had a Mensa association.
I thought those were, like, some kind of... Maybe I have made this all up.
No, I would absolutely believe it because I'm sure there's like an analog for it. That's testing your spatial intelligence, which I personally lack.
I mean, everything's made up. Mensa's made up.
Yep.
We've made everything up. We don't know what we're doing.
It's true. Humans as a species, just a hot mess.
We're
held together with spit and hope.
Yeah, we're a bunch of animals who just...
Eat other animals.
Yeah, just screwing things up, eating other animals, which is what we learned from this book.
Guys, it's bad. It's bad to be an animorph, we've established, but this book also tells us it's bad to be a human in general. Rough deal.
Bad to be a cow.
Yeah. Oh, the worst, maybe. kind of tough to be an Andalite, also. The claustrophobia thing happened a little strongly for me.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so welcome to Morph Club. I'm Megan.
I'm Carrie. And this week, bi-weekly unit of time, we read book 28, The Experiment, which was an Axe book.
The Experiment. I thought that once again we were getting a title that didn't mean anything, but then it kind of made sense in the end.
Yeah.
So, good job, ghostwriter.
Ghost titler?
Name I looked up.
You did! Oh, what'd you find out? Before we get into this, we are going to have a very special guest join us later in this episode. So we're going to chat a little bit about the book, then we're going to do a plot summary, and if you want to get to our guest, who is Sarah Getter, creator of webcomic Boozle, which is fantastic, and co-creator of Dungeon Critters, also great, with Natalie Reese. And she also makes behind the scenes, and she's a very prolific and wonderful cartoonist, so you should go look up her work. All of which to say, if you want to hear us chat with her, you should skip to, can I throw my hat over the fence and say 28 minutes in? Can we do that?
Yeah, let's
do it. Okay.
Yeah, you know, about.
Yeah, roughly.
Why not?
Sure.
Why not around there?
We're going to do it.
There's not a ton of plot. We're not going to take that long.
No. I could summarize this plot for you in, like, 2 minutes because I did go through out of curiosity and put together an outline of all the scenes because, like, the graph of the scene of the emotions in this book is more ridiculous than usual, even. Like, I feel like normally
erratic?
It's a roller coaster. Yes, this is, like, somebody's heart monitor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a heart... Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed this one.
Me
but,
too.
Yeah,
but it's a spiky EKG of
all
trauma.
Over.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's an Axe book. It's a ghostwritten book.
Yes.
I looked up, I was curious because I was like, oh, this ghostwriter, to me, seems to be doing a little better at jokes, at least.
Mm-hmm.
She has not ghostwritten any of the other books.
Oh, no.
I thought maybe it was one of the first two who, like, got their groove. But no, it is some other lady. And also, I found out that at least the ones listed on Seropedia, I think, or Wikipedia, were mostly women, which is pretty cool.
Cool.
I don't know if ghostwriting is a profession dominated by one gender or what, but...
Yeah, I wonder if people in ghostwriting come out of the publishing industry, which I think is disproportionately made up of women, at the lower levels, at least. It's still a gender mess once you get into the upper echelons of management. And by gender mess, I mean pretty male-dominated, I think, but...
Yeah, that was interesting. Especially since they... Like, I think K.A. Applegate was listed that way on the cover... Like, similar to J.K. Rowling, where I was like, oh, That way, like, boys will not be afraid to read a book written by a woman. They won't think it's a kissing book.
Right. Oh, heaven forfend. Oh, man, I miss the kissing. I could go back to some kissing in these books.
So this is an Axe book. The inside cover image of this book is wild.
Yeah, it's a ride.
The blurb on the inside cover of this book is, got milk.
Oh, my God. No, it's not. No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is. Oh, no. Carrie, step yourself back into the year 1999.
When big milk was the hot phrase big on milk. Everyone's tongues.
Big milk is out there trying to get you to drink a bunch of milk. Cover your upper lip in it.
Oh, God, right. The most efficient transfer method for liquid is just smear it on there. Just glorp it all over your mouth. Don't worry about where it goes after that. It's fine.
That's how a human drinks.
Sure.
They just smear a little bit on the top lip.
Was Got Milk a campaign? Now hear me out. Authored by aliens who didn't understand the purpose of mouths, because Axe, first thing in this book is like, are they kissing to exchange food? So it's I feel like there's a general misunderstanding.
I do feel secure in saying that Got Milk was made by aliens.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Like, just Got Milk? It does sound like someone who's unclear on what
the purpose of it is.
What you do with it.
Where it comes from.
Just got it?
Okay, I said 28 minutes. We are 8 minutes in. We've got 20 minutes left.
Minutes.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. Okay, so book starts. Axe is in a scoop. There's a lot of cool
Axe
things in his
has
scoop.
Yes. A scoop. Yes. Don't understand what it looks like, but he's got one. It sounds kind of like a patio.
It does a little bit. I was picturing, like, you know those long tunnels that are meant for cats and or small children to play in that, like, extend up with fabric between them?
Oh my God, that's so good.
That's what I was seeing, but, like, semicircular.
He's an
Andalite
tunnel.
Yeah.
I think as a kid I envisioned it as, like just a hole in the ground, like a dugout house, like
oh,
a little
no.
house
oh,
on the
like
prairie.
A hobbit hole? Oh, okay, with like a turf roof. That makes a lot of sense for how he says he conceals it, honestly. I think you've solved it.
But then he talks about like a cylindrical roof or a umbrella roof, but whatever.
It's
he's
a
got
mystery.
A sweet, sweet andalite pad.
What's he's the got. Best thing he's got in the pad? There are two best things.
Oh, a TV.
Yes. What's the second best thing?
He has a photograph of a cinnamon bun.
Yes! That's
amongst
my favorite thing.
Amongst his earthly possessions.
Yeah, guys, remember, this is like a thing in Animorphs, right? It's how you show who the character loves. Like, Rachel has a photo of Tobias. Jake has a photo of Cassie. And Axe has his one true love, the cinnamon bun.
Ooh, and poor Marco has a picture of his mom that he put in a drawer.
Oh, no. Oh, I forgot. That's not funny. That's deeply sad. But the absurdity
so
of
sad.
The drawer is what I'm laughing at.
Yeah, it was so sad. But, yeah. Oh, boy. And then just Axe is like, this is what people do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put up a photo of my one true love.
Yeah.
Cinnamon bun. Although, that cinnamon bun is in danger because Axe loves TV.
It's true.
He loves the TV. He watches indiscriminately everything on it.
Yes. He has a voracious appetite for any moving pictures, including advertising, which is great.
He loves ads, mm-hmm. which I love that he says that he loves ads because, like, the it's something like it's very clear and like concise and like
and emotionally intense. Just like he's not wrong.
He's like, you know what? This is what Mad Men was about. This is the Don Draper theory of life or whatever.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, absolutely. The next time they get a test audience in, you have to make sure it includes at least one alien being.
Yeah.
If it doesn't test well with Andalites, it's not going to the final.
You show Axe Carousel, he's going to cry when he sees that ad.
Uh-huh.
When he sees I'd like to buy the world a Coke, Axe will be there going, yes, please.
Me too.
I also enjoy that beverage.
That fizzy, the fizzy lifting drink of my heart.
this book has a lot of goofs, which is why we're focused on the TV. Mm-hmm. There's also some darkness, which made this book a little bit of a roller coaster.
Okay, can I run through? Can I run through this outline real quick? No.
Max is having a good time.
Yes. May I also run through like a 20-word outline of what happens to preview for please. Us? So, TV interlude, barn meeting, truck escapade number one, poop fight, chimp fight, TV interlude number two, barn, cow tipping malarkey, bullshit, Marco's truck stunts part two, an actual slaughterhouse where Axe and Tobias nearly die, which is like a Metro Yashka doll of abattoir situation, a battle in the slaughterhouse, a triumph of human will, and then we all go back to the food court for burgers. That's it. That's this book.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Right. So look ahead. You can see that after these beautiful, beautiful TV goofs, we're going to get to some darkness.
Some dark meditations on humans
and our near ape relatives and the ways we treat them.
In some ways, there are maybe too many things going on at once about humanity.
Yep.
But
right.
It's interesting seeing it from an alien perspective, so I wonder if they were like, we gotta get it in there, it's the X book.
Right, but it is, it's both, it's not only this is how you treat your sentient relatives from an alien perspective, but also this is how you treat non-sentient creatures that you're going to eat from an alien perspective. Yeah. And there are a couple times I feel like those wires got crossed a little bit.
Yeah. Also, it's a lot. Poor Axe is thinking about how he is a grazing animal. Mm-hmm. I mean, animal, but like that is how Andalites evolved and how cows are similar, which is poor baby.
Yeah,
so he's having a good time watching TV. Eric the Cheese shows up as a truck.
There's more trucks. I forgot how many trucks were in this book.
I don't know why he decided to show up as a FedEx truck.
It was the best camouflage he could come up with. Right. So he interrupts Axe, who's finally put on a shirt and his human morph, and his boyfriend Marco and his nephew Tobias, who are all on their way to the mall.
Eric is like, hey, here's your mission this book, if you choose to accept it.
Yep.
And Marco literally goes, how about we don't accept it and we just go to the mall? But then they do. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, hey, the Yerks bought a slaughterhouse and an animal testing lab. Sounds bad. Right, we should check that out.
Two fun things for you to look forward to this book, kids. Get ready. Sometimes we send you to the beach. Sometimes we literally send you to an animal testing facility and a slaughterhouse.
The thing with this is they immediately are like, this must be connected.
Yep.
I would not immediately go, this must be. I would immediately go, sounds like they got a lot of irons in the fire.
they're a busy species. Maybe maybe they just, I don't know, maybe they're doing research to like make burgers tastier for everybody. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there's some controllers who really care about that, who got swayed by the lure of food.
Wouldn't it be incredible if the controllers just got distracted by trying to like improve Earth stuff because they just got like really into Earth?
Yeah. Like I can't take this planet over until it's a little bit less on the brink of dying of global warming. Cool. Okay. Yeah. You're conservationists. I'm into it.
That would be really, that would be not this book. okay. So they have their mission. Throughout, Axe is occasionally imitating,
soap
opera actors, which is very really endearing.
Yep.
They go check out the animal testing lab. To do that,
they have to find a way through like a force field, and they decide they're going to morph chimps because there's a truck carrying chimps in and they know when it's going to be there.
So they find the truck with the chimps and they acquire the chimps.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole thing. It's a hot mess of like climbing around on a truck in the dark and letting the chimps out of cages onto a moving, onto a highway.
Yeah. Which Cassie's not happy like, about. Cassie is the voice of reason going, this seems bad.
But this then seems like maybe we shouldn't.
And then they're like, don't, Cassie, otherwise they're going to be, you know, controlled or experimented on.
Right.
And then there's, like, a point later on where they're watching TV, and it's like, oh, we found these chimps, like, on the news. Chimps found. They're safe now. Don't worry.
It's okay, children. Right, in flashing neon letters.
It's fine. Yeah. So they morph chimps, and Axe describes them as more attractive than humans. Which,
because they're covered in fur, and they have the option to walk on four legs.
That's my guess, because he describes human skin as not attractive to him. but chimpanzees more, which raise a lot of questions. Yep. But he is fascinated by the differences and similarities of chimps and humans. They drive the truck full of anamorph chimps to a facility.
Yep. They sneak into the facility. They sneak into the cages with the other chimps. And they're there to figure out, like, why do the Yerks need this? What's going on?
Yeah.
Here's a fun thing. I don't remember why the Yerks wanted this other than so that they could send the Animorphs onto the slaughterhouse to you.
The chimps were the first part of testing for the thing that the Yerks wanted to put in the burgers in the slaughterhouse.
Okay. Okay. So we never actually see that experiment, right?
Yeah. Well, we see the results of it later. The chimps would be done at this point, based on what we know later.
That's why. So I don't know. Yeah, because when Visser 3 inevitably shows up, he comes in and is very insulted because the Animorphs all decide to throw their poop at him. And then the other chimps pick up this hilarious tactic. And then he starts pontificating about, like, oh, we don't even need these horrible creatures anymore. We're done with this phase of testing. Let's destroy them.
They have literally moved on to human testing for what seems like some time now.
Yeah.
I'm really confused why they have another chimp shipment coming.
Right, a chimpment.
From where? Mm-hmm. Unclear.
A mail camp?
mail camp? So, that set piece is over.
Yep.
At some point before that, they had also transformed into seagulls and ate Doritos.
Yes. There is, I think when he and Tobias were scoping out the chimp truck, they had some nice seagull recon time.
Yeah. Also, Marco misses an important X-Files online chat.
that was endearing. I went back and forth on Marco on this book. We can talk about that with Sarah, but I felt like he was really harsh to Cassie. But then he also talks about, like, I love Buffy, and I'm sad to be missing, like, my favorite actors, Mulder and Scully, because that's their real human names.
Yeah. I feel like They're like, Cassie, of course, is the animal lover, so in this book, she spends a lot of time saying, like, hey, animal testing is kind of cruel, that they should do it less often, which is, like, a much, like, that is a pretty restrained opinion on animals. Like, that's, like, I think what the baseline is for most people now is, hey, just, like, least amount as possible. Like, can we, if we're gonna do it.
Maybe not for lipstick. Maybe just cut down on that a wee tad.
Like, stuff that's, like, important, not just everything.
Right.
But I wonder if just it when this book was written,
Even that was a hard stance to take.
Yeah, like, I feel like I remember being a kid at like, 1998 or whatever, and it being more like, only hippies care about all this animal stuff. It's probably not that bad. And now, like, we actually know.
it really is that bad, you guys.
People know what it actually is. So, I like, it seemed like it might just be, like, a shift in
cultural attitudes. Yeah.
Which is sort of interesting because I was like, Marco's being so cruel and Cassie just seems like a normal person.
Right.
She just seems like your average human now talking about animals.
That's, like, a good point, though. I guess part of it is the context of, it seems like Marco's pushing back against, like, a default reasonable position. But if at the time it was perceived as, like, a far more extreme one, which is weird to me, but I guess that's how cultural attitudes work.
So, like, I feel like PETA was big then, and now it's just kind of like, that is one of many organizations trying to do, and then, like, they're kind of more extreme. So I don't know. That's my guess. As someone who remembers this time period in a
vaguely
very,
through the lens of a child. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We got 7 minutes. Let's do this.
Oh, there's not much left.
That's true. They have a battle where they all, as chimps, fight a bunch of taxons. It's disgusting and horrible.
They throw poop at Visser 3.
Yep.
Axe thinks about human nature, whatever. Mm-hmm. He watches some more TV. they decide to go through with their big set piece, which is they have to morph cows to get through the biofilter to get into the slaughterhouse. So they acquire some steers.
Right.
Axe asks what neutering is. It is not explained to him. This ends up being important, but they never explain to the reader what it is either, because I think this was a ask your parents situation. So they morph these steer to be driven into the slaughterhouse through the biofilter. What they did not realize is that they morph bulls because they have not been neutered. They're driven in a truck driven by Marco in gorilla morph wearing a denim suit.
Which is beautiful.
Because he can reach the gas pedal. He couldn't
reach the pedal because Marco canonically is a shorter teen.
He's a small boy.
Yeah. They have to knock out some drunk college kids who want to come cow tipping. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
To acquire the cows, they watch a bunch of cow tippers.
Yep.
Don't worry. So they're in a truck driven by a gorilla in a denim suit.
Mm-hmm. A Canadian tuxedo, if you will.
Marco, Jake is
nearly kills them. Yeah, Jake is in the front seat, basically covering his head and preparing for the end.
They knock a bunch of stuff over, but they get there.
Yep. Cool. Now they got to the slaughterhouse. Yeah. I'm so excited.
It's great. So Axum and Tobias have morphed bulls. They're trying not to fight each other, and they are obviously not what the slaughterhouse wants, so they have to play it cool. The other animorphs morph flies and hide in their nose.
Sounds great. It's just a picnic for everyone involved.
They get through the Gleek biofilter. They get into the slaughterhouse.
Right. In any other book, that would have been the worst thing that happens, right? Is they see, oh no, a poor rabbit got fried by the Gleek biofilter. Lucky we escaped. But no, that was just a prelude to, here's a visceral description of an actual slaughterhouse. Let's talk about how panicky cows act. Let's talk about, I don't want to talk through all the horrible things that they see, because it's rough.
Yeah, not fun.
No.
I mean, I guess in a series of books where kids morph animals, it's interesting to have them confront this. It's also a lot.
Yep.
So, and then poor Axe is especially rattled because he's been thinking about how chimps evolved into humans, and cows are also grazing animals. So they're a little bit like Andalites, but their intellect isn't there, but... So there's a similarity, and then he's literally being led to the slaughter, and he's understandably upset. They manage to be saved before they're slaughtered.
Barely. Last minute, Rachel busts in as a bear. Yeah, barely.
Tobias, razzes her about how long she took to come in. They run into, the rest of the facility. Mm-hmm. There's, fights. Visser 3 does, a villain monologue, which I had missed. We hadn't had that in a while.
Yeah, it was a nice treat.
They break into a room where Order 66 or whatever.
Yeah, there's a big label that says, Formula 71 being tested on these human subjects. So there are cages full of actual humans who are held in biostasis and also in cages. And they break into a computer and find this big, very full of itself write-up of, oh, this project has been a great success. And the computer itself is talking.
It's like Siri.
Yeah, it's like Siri, but if Siri loved Visser 3 so much.
Yeah, if Siri was programmed to love.
Yeah, and love 3. Only one person, and that person was Visser 3.
If her was about Visser 3 and his computer.
Uh-huh.
I never saw that movie, but I'm assuming it's just like this, where the computer is like... Our great leader, Visser 3,
right. It's like Oz, this cool Oz the Great plan. And powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. Oz the Great has this great plan to get rid of human free will. It's worked 100%. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. It looks great. It's working great.
It's a very great dictator, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, and so the Animorphs are like, oh, they're going to, put this in the meat at the facility, which I don't know if a slaughterhouse would also make the hamburgers, but whatever.
We're led to believe that everyone who eats burgers,
So they were testing that on the chimps, which that's the chimp part of this should have been way over, but anyway. according to this, it works perfect on humans, and all the Animorphs are like, oh, that's not good, because they could, like, get into, like, all of the humans mm-hmm. real quick, and then it's over. This would be the last book of the series.
Short series, guys. But Cassie pushes back to say,
yeah, Cassie's
no,
like... Yeah.
This sounds fake.
First of all, 100%.
Right. That's just not how science works, but okay.
But she has a very firm belief in free will,
the power
which is
of
nice.
Human will, yeah.
And Axe is also like, yeah, they're in cages, so maybe it didn't work. Why are they frozen if they have no free will?
Yeah.
So yeah, that turns out to be true. And the scientist is like, oh, they didn't believe us when we said it didn't work.
He's gonna kill me. I'm so frightened. Yeah. My boss is the worst.
Can you imagine?
Oh, no.
So they have, like, another fight. Visser 3 chops off some guy's hand and makes him hold it.
That was a lot.
They fight their way out.
They set all the humans free.
Axe is rattled. Poor kid.
Yeah. They never solve the question of whether chimps are sentient, or it's left to the reader to, like, make up your own mind about this.
Yeah.
And then, as a beautiful wrap-up, they all go
home.
They go
to the food court.
They meet, yep, in the food court. Axe gets his cinnamon bun. Yeah.
And then...
Do you think he refreshes his photo of it? Or do you think that the photo in his scoop is one he took or one he ripped out of a magazine?
Ooh, I was assuming magazine, but now I want him to have, like... a photographer.
I'm sorry,
fashion.
Delilah. You're an outdated bun. Charlie Crust is my new favorite.
And then they all get burgers.
Yeah, which is very, very whistling through the graveyard, like, dark humor kind of thing. But also, they're kids. You have to deal with this however you can.
I mean, according to Seropedia, they got a lot of, like the, on the Anabase website, mm-hmm. Kay Applegate was saying they got a lot of flack for that ending.
Oh.
But she was saying something basically like, well, I think slaughterhouses are, like the way we treat animals is complicated, and there are a lot of other issues in the world, and I'm not a vegetarian. I think it's true that, like, people have to, like, as humans, we make our own, like, rules about what is okay. Like, it seems like that's human is to be, like, Axe says in this book, humans are inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I know slaughterhouses are bad, but I love a burger.
Everybody kind of everyone kind of has to reach their own equilibrium on that. And yeah, in a book about free will, it would be, I guess I like that better than them unilaterally deciding, like, we are all vegetarians forever now, because that also doesn't read to me like the way real teens are.
Yeah. Although I'm surprised Cassie isn't. Although maybe she is. I don't remember if she eats one, actually.
I don't think she does, because I know, or I remember Marco and Rachel and Jake all choosing to go get a burger, but I don't think we've seen if Cassie does.
Because that would make sense to me.
Yeah,
she would be the one who would draw that one. Anyway, well, I guess also she believes in, like, humans are omnivores, so...
She's complicated.
Humans can make their own decisions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can all be meat minimalists. It's cool, but you can still have a burger once in a while. Hey, guess what? I think that was
about
28 minutes.
Yeah, just about. Close enough.
Yep. Do you remember, I messed this up so badly last time, how we transition from this into our group call? Hey guys, we're really excited to talk with Sarah, so here it comes.
Yeah, and then, like, I just play, like, music, it'll be fine.
Alright guys, so we're back with our special guest, Sarah Getter. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Thank you so much for reading this book with us and joining us for this episode. I'm so glad after torturing you with the TV show,
yes,
we got to actually get you on a book to read.
Yeah, watching...
Yeah, you're our other friend who never read the book, so we forced to watch the show in, like, on a phone in a hotel room.
I was going to say, it's like, well, that was, like, the optimal experience, probably, to watch that TV show.
Yeah, I think that was all the dignity it deserved.
God.
So it's fine.
Yeah, that's a good first impressions for Morphin' Animorphs, I guess.
but so that was all the contact we really had with, like, primary source material.
Yeah, other than, like, yeah, I'm mostly series,
right?
Secondhand through you guys.
I'm so curious about how, like, secondhand absorption of what we think about these characters framed, like, the impression you had of them coming into this book.
Well, I already knew that Axe was my favorite, so I really wanted to read an Axe book. But I guess I waited too long, because now I have to read a ghost-written Axe book. So, actually wanted to ask, how did this stack up against, like, a real Animorphs book, I guess? Because, I mean, obviously I didn't listen to you guys' summary yet, so...
That's a good question. I think this is one of the better ghost-written books we've read so far. We don't have that big a sample size yet, though. I think we've only read three or four that weren't written by K.A. Applegate and Michael Grant. I think Axe was one of my favorite parts about this book. I felt like his voice was the closest to the way we've seen him in other books. Though, again, Axe and Tobias, because they alternate books, we get a smaller set of narrations from them than we do from the other characters. So I never know, like, if I have as complete a picture of them as narrators as I do of some of the others. What do you think, Meg?
I thought, like, it was a smoother read than the other two so far. Like, the, it wasn't as choppy, and, like, the characters felt a little bit more, like, the jokes landed better, and the characters felt a little bit closer to their normal selves. Although, mm-hmm. I did think it was weird that, like, they kind of reference Axe's, like, Axe needing to kill Visser 3 as part of this, like, Andalite cadet, like, thing that he has to do.
There's
one thing you gotta know.
I love cinnamon buns, and
I gotta murder. I'm gonna have to do a murder. But then he's TV boy the rest of the book, which I loved it, but was
so
also
much.
A little jarring. But I loved it so much that I kind of don't care.
But yeah, tonal dissonance also a big thing in this book. Like, the valleys, the lows were so low, and the highs were such a jocular high that I have real humor whiplash.
Yeah, we sent you a message because I started reading this book and was having a great time.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like I was talking about how much fun the first third of the book was. And then the next day I saw Carrie message you with, "Sarah, I'm so sorry that this book has a slaughterhouse sequence."
Yep.
There's always something, right? Every time we get a guest on, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited for you to read this book. But I forgot, like, oh, there's genetic engineering. Or, like, oh, there's something really, really bad
in
this
one. I hope you, like...
You'd think I would have learned.
I hope you, like, intergalactic war crimes, like...
Yeah! Natalie, I'm still so sorry.
We made some mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed...
But you liked his TV boy name.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Once again, I didn't have anything to really compare it to, because this is the first Animorphs book I've ever read. Mm. But, no, I thought, like, it worked pretty well. Like, I don't know. I had a good time with it, except minus the slaughterhouse scene.
Yeah.
I really, really, really loved the Axe. Like, Axe loves TV and these messages.
He's
a good boy. Like, he's young and occasionally restless.
Oh my god.
He doesn't want to wear a shirt. He wants to do a dramatic pause.
Okay, can we talk about the three things that Axe has in his scoop? Which is...
Yes!
Wait, what's the third thing? Because Megan and I agreed on the best two things of the TV and the cinnamon bun.
Clothing. He has clothing, a TV, and a picture of a cinnamon bun. Like, a picture.
Just to remember. He has to think about it at night when it's dark and he misses his home.
I have to
think about cinnamon buns.
I, like, have to imagine that he, like, puts it under his pillow, like, when he goes to sleep.
Andalite pillow.
To, like, touch it, like, gently.
Do Andalites lie down, or do they just stand there like a cow?
Do they sleep like horses?
I mean...
Like a cow that gets tips. Do they just...
I assumed it was, like, a deer situation, I guess.
Like, he sits down?
Deers,
sits
like,
down
sleep?
Cutely?
Laying down, right?
Welcome to our veterinary podcast. We tell you how we think animals sleep.
I'm pretty sure deer lay down. I've seen a picture.
If Bambi taught me anything, it's that deer can lie down when they need
to. Yeah, just they curl up cutely. I think, like, cows... No, wait, no, cows sit down.
Yeah.
Horses don't really sit down. Anyway,
Axe is probably closest to a deer, so I assume he lays down.
Yeah. I mean, I always think of him as being, like, deerish.
Yeah.
Deer-like.
Our beautiful anime deer. I do like... I've now come all the way around to, I think it's a deliberate joke on us that they never tell us how many fingers Axe
has. Oh my god!
I thought he had six! I thought that was canon. Was I wrong all this time?
What's up?
I thought he had six.
Me too, but they are so emphasizing, like, his many fingered hands. I mean, even Axe as a narrator doesn't tell you how many fingers he has.
I felt like
my many fingered
hands. Maybe he's extra every time.
I feel like personally called out because, like, the way I draw Axe is to me was like, I just, like, throw a bunch of fingers on there until it's, like, more than five.
I know, but you know what? You're
now
right.
Now I'm right. Like, I've.
He talks a lot about what having, like, morphing a human is like.
Oh my god, that was, like, my least favorite morph.
It was so funny. Like, he's like, oh, I could feel the teeth forming.
Oh,
humans
god.
Have this thing called a mouth. And then later on, he's like, oh, this person, like I think it was, like, Jake's jaw clenched. That is a thing humans do when they are, like, stressed out.
Oh, man. I wrote notes while, like, reading this book because I didn't want to forget things.
Wow, nerd.
Okay.
I say as I push aside my notebook full of notes.
I wrote a note specifically where Axe nods later. I was like, there, it's proof. He does use his neck. Okay? He has neck muscles. Because, like,
look.
I remember he, like, made such a big deal. It's like, oh, I don't have to actually turn my neck to, like, do whatever. Uh-huh. And then, like, but as an Andalite, he did nod. So he can't, like, move his head.
He has the ability. He's just too distinctive.
Yeah.
And I love, that's one of the things that he says, like, he learned from, like, TV and human friends, too, right?
Yeah.
I also think a lot about the part when Axe was like, I have to turn my head now to look, and I was like, are Andalites just, like, super stiff?
Yeah, like, that's what I was imagining, like, them just, like, super robot,
like action figures,
or, like, just their
where, like, they don't have a hinge on the neck.
Yeah.
So that you have to...
guys, this is a great podcast, and we're all doing our best Andalite impressions.
Yes. Our audio podcast is of just, like, making stocky thighs.
They're very good stock eyes, so I enjoy them.
Oh, there was something else about Andalites that I was trying to piece together in this book. Now I can't remember it.
I also love that he learns, like, expression of emotion through body language
from
soap operas. So it's all over the top, like, I have to gently lay my hand on Marco's arm and make direct eye contact with him.
I loved that.
Also, my ship.
Also, my ship.
He wants, he doesn't understand kissing, and Tobias flies away because he doesn't want to explain it.
Oh my god.
Or I think because he tried to and it didn't stick, so he's just like, I'm done, Marco, you can take this.
Who has to explain to their uncle how to kiss?
But
that's just bad.
I think also this is the part where he's like, this woman on screen is always walking around in a towel. Why is that? And Marco's just like, I gotta get you watching better shows.
Oh god.
Oh.
In my fan fiction, Margo explains kiss. Stay tuned.
And then they go to the mall, they have a nice time, and then
they have cinnamon buns, they go to Spencer's Gifts and make jokes about the cheese.
Oh my god.
It's great.
Axe takes a new photo of a cinnamon bun and gives it to Marco because he doesn't understand love. It's beautiful.
That's what you
do. To explain kissing, he has to use, like, cinnamon buns.
No, he definitely, they do a Lady in the Tramp with a cinnamon bun.
Oh my god.
I am 100% convinced.
Jesus.
That's beautiful.
Anyway.
But they don't go to the mall till the end of this book.
I know.
They just, like... I can't believe Eric shows up as a FedEx truck. Like, I'm stuck on this Thomas the Tank Engine JJ the jet plane move where he's like, I'm going to be a FedEx truck. And they make fun of the fact that that's a corporate, like, that's like a logo. Like, they're like, oh, you're going to get sued. And then he's like, oh, don't worry. My lawyer was Moses' law teacher. Which I was like, wait.
I have a couple questions.
Hold up.
That is, Eric also has a legal obligation the first time he shows up in any book to, like, snarkily, not so subtly remind you how old he is and how much he could buy and sell you with ancient chi investments.
Yeah. Does he show up in, like, every book now? Like, that's just, like, their main plot.
He's had, like, a good run now.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah.
I guess it's not... Well, right, because he took them to the Howlers, then all the chi froze, and now here he is again as a truck delivery system.
It seemed like in...
Like a literally plot delivery device.
Yeah. He's like Charlie and Charlie's Angels, or like Basil Exposition in Austin Powers.
Yes.
Like a really, really dated reference.
No, it's okay. You're just trying to get us back into the 90s.
Trying to get back. Comparison was like the mayor from Powerpuff Girls or
something. Yeah, yeah. They pick up the Animorph's phone and they're like, uh-huh. Eric the Chief, what's up?
With Commissioner Gordon calling you once again.
They put up the Animorph signal, which is like... Mm-hmm. Horrible
it's
pictogram.
Gross. Yeah, it's a grotesque image of like a melting half. Human face. Nobody likes it.
Yeah,
it's just a cinnamon bun, so to get access to
it, she better.
I love the part where like he's so food motivated that it's like, oh, he turns into a seagull and he's like, the seagull is almost as hard to control around food as a human. Right. And he like eats, and it's like mentioned that he eats a bunch of trash Doritos. And then like when he's a chimp, they like are tricking the chimp with like oatmeal cookies. Oh, and like Axe is like, they're giving me a cookie. So I mean,
the chimp was into it, and I as an Andalite am also on.
Yeah, he's like, well, the chimps seem to like it, so what can I do?
Yeah, like it's just like,
sorry guys. Yeah,
Axe is like, I don't even need convincing. I'm already here.
Like, well,
yeah. When Rachel loses control of a morph, it's like, I almost killed my best friend Cassie. When Axe loses control, it's like, I guess I ate some chips. Cool guys, that's fine.
God,
oh, he's a good boy.
He's such a sweet, sweet boy.
I like that he's still doing his morning rituals now. It's just like...
Yeah.
I like that he brought really up nice. That he, like, was annoyed that he was, like, missing Good Morning America or something.
Yes! He also is confused about cartoons, which I like, like, as an alien, that he's like, I watched The Simpsons and I enjoyed it, but they are not humans.
Yeah, like, they're missing they are a something finger. Else. Like...
They have fewer fingers and...
Just not into that.
Yeah.
He's not on board.
Like, I wish there was, like, a spin-off series of just Axe on, in, like, a different timeline. Where there's no Yurks, he just got, like, lost.
This is, we're just describing that Steven Universe episode where Peridot watches that show. It's
Oh my god, yeah, god. That's pretty much all I want. So I'm just gonna rewatch that, I guess.
I guess I could just watch Steven Universe.
Do, like, careful, like, redraws of screen caps.
God.
Like, oh, it's just
I want desperately to see that.
I mean, Marco is kind of like Steven.
Is he
messing up my shit?
Because he was really mean in this. Okay, that was the other part.
Yeah, he was a mean boy in this book.
Is he
we
always
about
that
earlier.
Mean? Like, he was, like,
it
extra
depends.
Mean, it seemed like.
I feel like.
Yeah, we talked a little. Megan brought up the point that it might have read as a more reasonable response at the time when PETA was, like, the big bad or, like, only thing that crunchy hippies were into animal rights. I still, though, my impression was still,
boy.
This is a harsher Marco. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't have the benefit of his, like, I'm sure his internal narration is something like, I can't believe we're focusing on these animals when, like, there are all these humans who are still controlled that we have to save. But we don't get the benefit of that. We just get to see him being mean to Cassie.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, kind of... just really mean. Like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's something that before has been something he occasionally does, and like it'll in a book he'll say like one or two kind of harsh things because that's
right.
How he like he is kind of like he makes jokes and sometimes they come across as mean when he's
mm-hmm.
when he is
just trying to snark his way through
like
something.
When it's him dealing with something, like it'll be like a joke that's like, that's you went over the line. I think in this book it was like a little bit too much of like, we need to have a character, we need to have the pro animal character in the even though like Marco morphs a gorilla, so you think he would have like feelings on chimp experimentation and stuff.
Like just the part where Marco is like, you don't even care about humans, you only care about animals, like typical animal rights. I'm like, shut up, Marco. God,
that's not true. Marco, chill. You changed into animals.
Like, come on.
I mean, I guess Marco's thing is that he's the, like, he has very, like Cassie cares about the whole Earth, and Marco cares about his mom. Like, I guess they have opposite, like, motivating goals, but I don't know if that's enough to make him so mean to her in this book.
I mean, like, I get there has to be, like, a naysayer, I guess. I don't know, because conflicts or whatever, but, like, I don't know. I just thought it was, like, extremely mean.
And Megan, the more I think about your point that normally this will happen, like, once, I think in other books he will, like, make an over-the-top joke because that's how he deals with stress, but often he'll get talked down by Jake and then won't do it again. But in this book he comes back two or three times and is still, like, you only care about these cows, you only care about these chimps, you don't care about other people. And it's harsh. And it's harsh to read when you're also dealing with, like, Axe nearly got cow murdered, and that's kind of a lot to process on its own.
Yeah, that's probably the ghostwriter kind of having trouble balancing all the characters. That's a lot, because there's a lot of characters in these books.
This is six kids. That is a lot of kids to juggle.
Yeah, it's interesting, because it's like this, I feel like this author had a better handle on some things, but then, yeah, the juggling the kids is still hard when you've never written them before.
Sarah, did you say, speaking of upsetting things, the human morph is the one that squicked you most?
Probably. I think it was the idea of, like, his teeth grew.
The teeth is
like, the teeth grew before his, like, limbs formed. And I was like, I hate that. I hate that a lot.
Yep.
I really like that he's constantly describing human stuff as, like, weird. Like, in this book, there's a bunch of times, and I was like, I like that the human morph is weird to him, and, like, the chimp morph is also like, oh, it's similar to a human.
It's similar, but better, because they can also have four legs.
Also, like, when it's, like, it's raining and the humans are upset, I think it is because it's easier for them to fall over when it's wet outside, and they have trouble on only two legs.
He's right, I do, though. Like, yeah, I fall, I'm not wrong.
He's just so concerned. Yeah, that was probably my least favorite morph. I don't think that, because the cow one wasn't that bad. Because he was like,
close to he's already cow shaped.
Yeah, he's already like halfway there, so.
I just love that they never fully explain to the child reader the difference between a cow and a steer. I think when I read this as a kid, I either already knew or I just didn't question it. I was just like, I guess.
If you grow up with cats or, like, dogs or another animal that gets neutered or spayed, you have a general understanding. Yeah. Even if you don't make the overarching biological collection, you know that this is the thing that people do to animals. Mm-hmm. But if you don't grow up with pets, then it's like, huh? What's this mystery?
God. I really, like, this is only, like, tangentially related, but I did have a note that, like, I love the part where Cassie, like, basically, like, grip them by the horns, like, you need to stop.
That was really good.
I know, just like, Cassie, so good.
She's so sweet.
I also like when she was like, nothing weird here, just a black chick in a leotard hanging out with a bunch of cows. Cassie! I love...
Oh, she's so good. I love the part... It kills me.
Where like, Axe said, like, a math thing, and she was like, oh my god, I understood that. I was like, Cassie, you did it. Understood a math.
I'm so concerned for their academic future, y'all.
Oh my god! I read so many notes about, like, Big Jake didn't take good notes!
Jake's bad at notes!
We know that Jake's notes, like, are all him doodling tanks from a different book.
Oh yeah, that's canon! Oh my god. And then Marco is doing, like, he's doing
makeup.
Oh my god, like, these children! Like,
guys!
Like, if they defeat the Yurks, they're still gonna have to go to, like, summer school.
Oh, no. Like, it's gonna be be so much more complicated to get out of that.
These babies.
Oh, God.
Oh. Yeah, that scene with Cassie was so good. Everyone else is, like, trying to talk her out of standing between two enraged bulls, and she's just like, no, no, I got this. It's fine. I can talk down my idiot friend.
Like, look, I got, like, stop it. Like, just, like, Cassie being like, stop it. Stop it.
Boys, no, no.
Hey, Max, over no. here, stop it. Like,
do you want the spray bottle? Do you want the newspaper? I don't think so.
Like, Cassie just sprays him with a spray bottle. Like, yeah. Stop it.
I also like that in this book, they throw poop at
the my gym. God! That's a huge note. It's just like, they do Visser 3! Oh, God.
Like, Visser 3 is both, like, a war criminal, but then also is, like, constantly having Scooby-Doo...
Like, bumbling villain.
Like,
yeah.
Scooby-Doo-style villain things happening to him. God, like,
right.
He's
like
been
Old
skunked.
Man McGucket, like, is someone I would expect to step in a cow pie and have, like, chimp poop thrown on him, but no, it's this horrible monster.
Yeah, it's just, like, after hearing about the Hork-Bajir, where it's, like, the one where he's, like, this is, like, super war crimes, like, he's definitely, yeah. like, a horrible person. It's, like, also you got thrown poop at him, like,
yeah. Oh, God. Well, his, like, unfortunate chimp experiment that, like, he was, like, yelling at a scientist to fix the results of this to make it sound like it works when it doesn't
right,
work.
Like, we have to get this paper into Nature, you guys. I need a P of 0.02. I will accept nothing less.
Like, theoretically, if they had just not stopped this plan, maybe Visser 3 would have been taken out by another Visser when it failed. But the next Visser might have been more competent. So maybe it was good.
Right. And by might have, you mean, like,
definitely
must have been. There's no alternative.
God.
Although, if he's Visser 3, the other, like, Vissers 5 through whatever, Vissers 4 through whatever, might be even worse than he is. Like, they might not know what they're doing even more.
True.
If he's made it up to 3.
Unless I'm having real trouble conceptualizing what that looks like.
Unless he's just, like, so audacious that he's somehow bumbled his way into number 3.
Has there been a number
is, though, right?
Has there been a number 2? Like, has Visser 2 showed up?
We
haven't met them yet. I
no.
think we do eventually.
Okay.
But it might not be until, like, the very end of the series.
I was just wondering. Yeah. I was just like, wait a second.
Yeah, they, like, they don't hang out. They don't like each other.
Right.
So right, I
guess
they're
all aggressive, competitive bureaucrats.
Okay, I have another note about...
Mm-hmm. Please share all your notes.
Yes, okay. What was with that whole part where Act was, like... talking about, like, human nature and, like, dominating things, and he's trying to have, like, the whole moral high ground about how he does it, how he only grazes, but he definitely eats entire bugs! Like...
yeah, Axe, you ate a snail
yeah,
that one
like,
time.
He definitely does, like, eat things. Come on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he eats everything in the food
yeah,
store.
Right?
Like, he has to know that humans are driven by their desire for new taste sensations. They need... to
the taste station and light experience.
Like, we make the double down. We make the taco with the chicken skin.
So many McDonald's products in this
book.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, the chicken mistake.
Yeah. Like, I got an email in my inbox about Domino's making a wedding registry for pizza for your wedding.
Megan, I do have some questions.
Yes, I am getting married to pizza, and my wedding will have a registry. Of pizza.
Okay, that's a little cannibalistic, but, like, I guess whatever works.
Oh, my God.
I'm on no, Domino's wait, mailing but, list. There's nothing to question here.
I'm like, what do you, like, do people really, was that in demand? Domino's wedding registry?
Yeah, that was my question when I got the email. I was like, on the one hand, yes, that probably does make catering your wedding a lot easier. But this is not for catering your wedding. This is, like, for your registry.
Yeah,
so,
like,
okay.
How many Domino's
also,
products could one couple need?
Guys, listen, planning a wedding, I hear, is very stressful.
That's true.
You know what makes it a little easier? Access to some free
stuff. That pizza. They should have, like...
If you could just...
They should make it a pre-wedding registry, like in the 6 months leading up to the wedding, when you're dealing with both families, when you're dealing with booking events... and you just places. Get like
a Staples that was easy button, except every time you hit it, a pizza gets ordered from your wedding guests, and they have to send it to you.
And they should do it for like new babies. Those those people need pizza at all hours.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's one thing I've learned from hearing about other people who have babies.
It's that you always need a pizza.
They also
need pizza. If your company does this thing, we have some sponsorships available.
We will definitely for Jumbotron.
Hey, get at us.
We've already done ads for such incredible businesses as Marriott.
The SPX Marriott carpet.
Yes, specifically the SPX Marriott and the patio. In beautiful Bethesda, Maryland.
Scenic Bethesda.
Scenic.
Scenic business park.
With a Bethesda beautiful Maryland. View of the McDonald's and the and the metro station.
Okay, we gotta stop. Okay. We can't get them any more free.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, SPX we gotta get paid for that. Yeah, SPX, please sponsor us.
When will SPX sponsor Warp Club?
When will that comic festival start their podcast radio audience outreach with our podcast?
Yeah, I am so curious. I feel like a good third of our listening audience is comics.
I know.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to quantify that.
Yeah, for the people who have no idea what we're talking about, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, guys.
I'm sorry. I talk to other comics people. Like to start talking about comics.
We've mentioned SPX without explaining it multiple times, just because we went there. Like,
It is Small Press Expo in Bethesda, Maryland. A fine show for comics.
It's like the biggest East Coast indie comics convention, probably.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Nice. Okay, and we can't legally say any more about it until they pay us.
Yeah.
we do accept pizza, though, so we're cool.
If SPX can, like, pay for my wedding day registry, what time it is.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Sarah,
yes.
Speaking of how bad morphing is there an animal you would love to morph? Or first, what's your battle morph?
Oh.
And then what's your fun morph?
I mean, from Dungeon Critters, you already know.
Yeah, are you just a chirp? Are you just a sweet frog?
I mean, for my battle morph, I would probably want to be a tiger. Because I feel like I've been watching a lot of tiger videos lately.
They're so good.
Like, they're just, a giant cat. And I was like, I just want that. Maybe. That seems
also,
great.
Also, bonus, Visser 3 would probably hesitate to kill
you. Yeah, he'd be like, oh, hang on. Hold up.
Wait a second.
This is too gracious a creature to harm.
But yeah, I would probably want to be a tiger. And then for fun morph, I mean, a frog. I have to. But, I don't know. Also Tilly, probably. It'd be fun.
Oh, maybe Tilly.
And then my...
Wait, two Tillys?
Yeah.
Sorry, I think that's, like, world... Tilly, for those not in the know, is Sarah's very beautiful cat.
She's beautiful,
she's small
gentle.
And good. Perfect.
Actually, let's put Tilly in the episode.
Yes! Inexplicably.
Just Tilly and, like, a chimpanzee's face.
Tilly with, like, a cinnamon bun picture behind her.
Yeah, cinnamon bun and Tilly.
Cinnamon bun and the poop emoji.
No, yeah. Perfect.
Great. We nailed it.
Solid.
I was actually... Not to interrupt.
Please.
There was a Nova special on TV the other day where they were filming animals by constructing these animatronic, there were cameras inside these animatronic things that were placed in nature so they could, it was wild. So there is
like a duck blind, but like the blind is a Chuck E. Cheese animatronic.
Yeah. Oh, they were horrifying.
I hate that.
I'm going to pull up pictures and make you look at them later, but, so they had a section with chimpanzees, and I remembered that chimpanzees freak me out because they are too close to people.
Yeah, I
they would,
chimps.
They would stand up on their, they'd be fine when they're walking around on four legs, and then they would stand up on two legs sometimes, and that's when I would be like, no, stop, because they are too close to people.
Yeah.
It's like the uncanny valley with real creatures.
Yeah, they're too smart. Like, gorillas, too. They're too smart.
Yeah.
They can look at you and think. It's creepy. Like, you can see them thinking behind their little gorilla eyes.
Yeah. Well, gorillas look less like people than chimps do.
You sound like a cartoon villain in, like, The Rescuers Down Under.
I don't trust them!
I mean, I don't trust all monkeys in general.
I don't trust any animal because they're... No, they're creatures.
I don't trust my cat. What am I saying? My cat will attack me for nothing.
I love Gigi, but she would eat me if I died in, like, negative 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I trust Tilly with my life, okay? You're all Tilly's monsters.
Tilly is
Tilly's a perfect angel who could do
She's
no
also
wrong.
Very small, so, like, what could she do?
Yeah.
When the animal uprising comes, Tilly will be our savior.
Anyway, the third,
believe this.
The third animal that I wanted to morph would probably be a sloth. I don't know. They seem like they have, like, such a good time.
That would be fun. That would be
fun. That's the best chill-out morph I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, like, just, like, hang out. Like, just, like, chill.
They
very literally.
Happy. That would be good. Oh, I've never thought about a chill-out morph.
What?
Was there another long series that you, like, you latched onto in your middle grade days?
I mean, for the most part, I read, like, Redwall, but not the whole series, just, like, a couple books from it. But I mostly read, this one series called Sammy Keys, which I don't think anyone has ever read. Like, I think it was just
those.
Me. Oh, you did?
No, those were so good.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've never met someone else that read Sammy Keys, so I'm just like, yeah, you know, Sammy Keys.
I forgot about those.
The cool Nancy Drew or whatever.
Yeah. She was like, it was like a modern Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
But she was like, a cool kid.
Who was like Converse. Adopted.
Yeah, she was, like, adopted and she wore Converse, and she was, like, street smart.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm gonna put some covers in our Skype chat when I figure out how to do that, because the images that I'm Googling
Oh, yeah, Sammy Keys covers are crazy.
Odd. They had weird, I remember the art being weird, but yes, I remember liking them.
Okay, like, if you want to talk about, like, upsetting, like, teen plots, like, the one that I always remember is the one Sammy Keys story where, she goes to meet her mom because she's, like, estranged from her mom. Like, throughout the entire story, she's, like, really messed up because her mom, like, abandoned her to become an actress. So she, like, goes to visit her mom, and then, like the whole plot is, like, this creepy old dude that, like, straight up is trying to murder her mom. And she has to, like, at one point she, like, literally poisons her mom, and she has to, like, make her mom throw up. Like, throw up the poison.
I think that's like the last one I read. Yeah, they were, like, really intense.
Yeah,
and now
all,
I'm Googling it, there's, like, the covers that I remember that are, like, the more intense ones. And then there's, like, the modern covers, which are goofy, which is not at all what these books were like.
Yeah, there's, like, a serious, there's some cute, cartoony, like, someone looked at Reina's gorgeous Babysitter's Club books and was like, here's an opportunity to get on brand.
No, like,
and
the
then,
one...
like, contrast that with these photorealistic, like, girl and skeleton face things.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening here.
That was definitely a book I read in, like, fifth or sixth grade, like, around when I was getting out of Animorphs.
Yeah.
I scrolled too far. I got to lewd Sammy Keys fan art.
Oh, no. Back out.
I'm done.
Oh, God, internet.
I can't even remember the boy character. Was there a boy character?
Yeah,
Sammy
she had
Keys?
Like a. I think she had like a best friend.
I know she had like a girl best friend that I probably like shipped them together as a kid.
She probably had a. Like, it was probably, like, Harriet the Spy, where she is, like, a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and then, like...
Well, her...
I don't remember, though.
Because the guy I remember, like, that she usually, like, got advice from was usually, like, her adopted dad.
Oh, yeah, because she hung out with him, because he... And
yeah.
They had, like, a good, like... They had, like, a cute father-daughter...
Yeah.
Like, fellow PI, Veronica Mars, kind of...
Yeah, so that was the series that I mostly read.
Yeah...
Nice. I don't know. I every time I bring up Sammy Keys, everyone's like, "Who the heck is Sammy Keys?" And I was like, "She was so cool." Like,
it's just find one other person who read that, and then you start a podcast.
Yeah,
God, I would read. I would reread Sammy Keys.
There you go.
I mean, I know that I'm gonna go. Like, I'm going to my local library later today. And I know for a fact that the same copy that I read as a middle schooler is still there.
Aww.
Which is sad. So, Redwall, Sammy Keys.
I think that was it, because I, like, once I, like, hit middle school, I kind of stopped reading.
Yeah, I think a lot of kids do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even read Harry Potter all the way through, so.
Fair enough. I'm trying to look back at our question list. I think we've chatted about most of the things I wanted to pick your brain about, but was there anything else about this book that stuck out to you, or anything else about Animorphs you wanted to use this time on a soapbox to pontificate about?
Yeah, so we already answered, like, what was my favorite stuff was, like, the TV, like, X-11 TV. Mm-hmm. I think my least favorite was, like, I couldn't figure out what was going on during the truck scene. When they were, like, okay, whatever. I was like, let's just get through it.
It definitely felt like they were kind of adding complications to fill out.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, no, the truck is doing something. I don't know.
The doors have banged open, and our human chain can't reach the ground.
Oh, like, my God,
It was like the pillars all over again.
Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah, Axe has, like, a claustrophobia attack and, like, is sliding off the roof of the truck as an Andalite.
And then, like, he almost falls off, and he has to tell them, please, he, like, said, like, really politely, like, please do not let go of me.
Oh, please, please endeavor your very best not to drop me. Yeah. Just really, really good.
Yeah.
The sweet boy.
Let's see. I don't know. But no, it was, like, it was actually kind of interesting to read this, like, 28 books in and never reading an Animorphs book before. I had a good time.
You came to it with fresh eyes. I'm glad you had a good time. That's really all we can ask of these books, I think, is if I enjoyed my time reading it, it was well spent.
Yeah, except for the slaughterhouse stuff. That was
gross. That was a lot. There's they're trying to be, like, poetic about, like, the carcasses flying through the air because they were on hooks, and Axe is like, oh, they're dead, but they're flying. And I was just kind of like, no,
that felt like a game, like a Bioshock might set a fight in a slaughterhouse to make, like, a poignant point about humanity, but I'm not into it.
Yeah, that sucked. I don't know. I kind of wish I did read it worse as a kid. I probably would have liked it. Because it was, like, one of those book series that I was, like, looked at, and I was like, those covers look weird. And then, like, that was it. Like,
you know what, though? You're not wrong. They sure were weird.
Like, I would just, like, laugh at the covers and be like, anyway, Redwall, like...
Yeah. Real literature.
Also solid.
These kids are turning into animals. Anyway, I'm gonna read my cool book about a mouse with a sword. Like,
I'm gonna read about my baby furries, don't worry.
About this mouse that grew up in a monastery.
Oh. Now I'm thinking about the mouse and the motorcycle.
Oh man, I did read that. That
was about anthropomorphic tiny animals.
I can't believe... How did the motorcycle work?
Speaking of my favorite anthropomorphic tiny animals, we talked a little bit earlier about Dungeon Critters, which you work on with Natalie Reese, and Behind the Scenes, your stage crew comic about teens, but they're high schoolers, so they're a little more together than Animorphs. And also Boozle, your charming webcomic about a wizard and a cyclops. Mm-hmm. But is there anything else you'd like to plug, Sarah?
I think that's all of them.
Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Twitter on at sgetter. That's GOETTER. And then Boozle is at boozle.sgetter.com. Behind the Scenes at behindthescenescomic.tumblr.com. And Dungeon Critters is dungeoncritters.itch.io. It's the page for it. Whatever.
Do you perhaps have a big comics event coming out pretty soon?
Yeah, Dungeon Critters number 2 is coming out. I'm really excited about it.
Yay!
And is there an in-person physical event at which people can buy copies from you?
Yeah, I'll be at Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle.
Which is when?
It is too soon. It's the 2nd to the 4th?
Right. Oh, nice. Okay, so if you're listening to this episode on the 28th when it goes up, that's later this week.
Yep. Yeah, it's the Thursday to the Sunday. It's a 4-day show. Mm-hmm. I've never done a 4-day show before. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if listeners are at ECC, you can go buy Dungeon Critters from Sarah and former guest.
And Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie. Yeah. Who's on
Friend of the show, Natalie.
Friend of the show. Sarah and Natalie.
Oh,
Cool.
This has been Morph Club. Next up, we're going to read book 29, The Sickness. We've gotten some excellent suggestions on how to handle alternomorphs, which is coming down the pipeline a little later. But if you have constructive thoughts, please share them with us. We need them. We need all we can get.
We have a Facebook group, Morph Club Cast. You can find us at Twitter at Morph Club Cast.
And if you're listening and you're enjoying this, we would love it if you could take a minute to rate and review this show on iTunes. That's a huge help to us, and it helps other listeners find the show. And maybe someday we'll land that big Domino sponsorship because of viewers like you.
The sweet pizza bucks. So I guess that's it.
Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
No, thank you for having me on the show, despite never reading an Animorphs book.
No, it's fun to get like the perspective from someone who hasn't been reading these
marinating
books.
Marinating it their whole life. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
I have no nostalgia, but I still enjoy it, so.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah, it's hard to see how objective, like, I know I can never be objective about these books, so it's really nice to get a fresh perspective on stuff.
Yeah.
From such a charming person. Aww. Yeah, thank you.
Now you'll understand when we're yelling about Animorphs in a hotel room at a con. Okay, so we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.